poem. And several months ago, I asked Ed Brown to put the music to it. And I wanted it a classic rock song. And he did. And he debuted it at our Blessing of the Biker. Some of you may remember that song. Part of the poem goes like this. And I remember I wrote this about 35 years ago or more. And it was before our opioid epidemic that we are seeing in the last several years. What in life can mean so much to make you sell your soul? Is it the smell, the taste, the touch of the weed, the booze, the girl? I share that as a lead-in for our scripture reading this morning. And it's from Luke chapter 22. Shane Souther Jr. is going to come and read. He's coming from the back. You're what, 22, Shane?
Yeah, 22.
Now, Connie and I, our family, have been here 25 years, so he was born after I moved to Hamilton. But it's really neat to see Shane giving profession of faith in Jesus. And there were times when he was on the verge of selling his soul. I know.
Absolutely.
I know that. So he's going to read from Luke 22. It's a very powerful passage, very stunning passage about Jesus. Would you stand for the reading of God's word?
Fantastic. Guys, I just want to say that there's nothing too great for God. We serve a God that paves streets of gold and uses it as asphalt. Isn't that amazing? So is there anything you can't bring to God? I know that might sound irrelevant to this scripture, but it's not. Because if you were to betray Jesus, you're not going to receive the blessing and the promise of eternal life. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, forgive me, Lord, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard, and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present.
You may be seated. Thanks. Thank you, Jane. Are there any men in your life, and I specifically pick out men, that would be of such character that you definitely would not want them to be your model or role model in life? Think about it for a second. Are there any men that you definitely would not want to be your role model or your hero? Certainly there are numerous examples from society. We just look around at the entertainment world. We can look at the sports world, music world, say, man, there's no way I want my child to be like them. I don't want to emulate them in any way. Certainly it could be a family member, it could be a relative, it could be a parent or a sibling. Judas is an example of such a man that I do not want to be like. I trust that most of you know the story about Judas. There may be a few that you're not that familiar with him. I do not want to be like Judas. In a moment, we're going to look at some of his life choices. But as we get into this subject about him, the Judas man, we are quite capable of being a Judas. Let's pause for a moment. I hope no one said, not me, ever, never. We are quite capable of being a Judas. I have to say that in my 25 years, and it's 25 years this month that I have served as senior lead pastor at Edinburgh Road, that I have seen Judases rise up from these chairs and pews. I am capable of it. I am capable of being a Judas man, and so are you. Men, that should shake us. Fathers, that should motivate us to not live like him. Mothers, teens, see, we are all capable of being like Judas. I remind you that Judas was one of the original 12, handpicked by Jesus, called by Jesus. Luke 22, the passage that we just heard, is how Judas approached life and the choices that he made. Here we're going to learn about his worldview. We're going to learn about his philosophy of life, and very specifically what not to do, how not to live, how not to live our lives, unless we want to end up in being like a Judas. So for a few moments, let's look at Judas's life, and then what I want to bring that in and relate that to each of us personally. The real Judas, what kind of man was he? The real Judas. He was a superficial disciple of Jesus. We might call that a fake. He was a superficial disciple of Jesus. Now notice, so don't miss this, he followed Jesus and was even trusted with the money bag. He carried the money bag. If you asked him about his relationship to Jesus, I am sure he would have answered, well, yeah, I'm following Jesus. Look, I'm one of the 12. Look at me. I'm part of the gang. I'm part of the posse. I'm a real homeboy. Because he was there with them. He talked with Jesus. He had communion with Jesus. He had fun with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He hung out with them. He went where Jesus went. But it was superficial. He gave audience to the lies of Satan. Now we're going to really step into something heavy here. This passage that we just heard says that Satan actually entered him. He was demonized. Now, just begin to make the connection. Here's a man that hung around with Jesus, followed Jesus, listened to Jesus, saw the miracles, saw people set free from demons, says he was a follower of Jesus, part of the gang, part of the homeboys, but he was entertaining thoughts from Satan. Some of you are entertaining thoughts from Satan. And it came to a moment in his life where Judas not only was entertaining the thoughts, because they were being fed to him by this group of religionists that we'll see in a moment wanted to get rid of Jesus. And Judas is entertaining these thoughts that are all demonic inspired, that Satan actually enters him and he is demonized. And according to the New Testament, Paul's writings later in Corinthians, he did not bring every thought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. He willfully opens the door in his thought life and in his heart, and he comes under the demonic influence. He comes under demonic influence. One more time. He comes under demonic influence. He was not DWI. He was IWD. He was intoxicated with demons. Don't miss that. Here's a guy that hung with Jesus. He was part of the gang. He went, traveled, did, saw the miracles, etc. Prayed, was there when Jesus was praying, and all this feeding the 5,000 and everything, but it was superficial, and now he begins to entertain thoughts about the lies of Satan, and Satan, he becomes demonized. And then he betrays Jesus by selling him out for 30 pieces of silver. What in life means so much that would make you sell your soul? Is it the smell, the taste, the touch of the weed, the booze, the girl? He betrays Jesus by selling him out for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew chapter 27 tells us those specifics. Because he was hanging out on this side of the fence with Jesus, but on this side of the fence with people that wanted to get rid of Jesus. And he was trying to live in two worlds. And he makes the choice in this compromising approach to life that I'm going to sell out Jesus. I'm going to get rid of him. And the language here is very clear. Those religious, those people on this side really wanted to get rid of Jesus. And he sells him out for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus for personal gain, personal comfort, personal pleasure. And he was not willing to follow Jesus to the cross. See, here is where we know where Jesus is heading. Jesus is headed to the cross. We as Bible-believing people, as evangelicals, we know that Jesus' goal in life was to come and to die. Of course, he would be resurrected, but he was headed to the cross. And Judas did not want to go there. He did not want this kind of stuff in his life. And by his own choice, he was joining forces with a group of religionists who wanted to eliminate Jesus. And you say, I would never do that. Be careful. And then he chooses to end his life and he hangs himself. And I don't want to share that. I don't want to share that. But it's there. The remorse that came into his life and it led to suicide, and his life ends up in destruction. And here I am this morning, 2,000 plus years later, talking in Hamilton, New Jersey, and using Judas as an example of how not to live. Of how not to live. He was an unbelievable loser. What about you and I? You and I and the Judas man. Do you have a superficial relationship to Jesus? I want to ask some very pointed questions of you today, and each of us. Do you have a superficial relationship to Jesus? Just because you attend church does not mean you have a dynamic, intimate, real relationship with Jesus. You may even talk to him. You may even go through all the prayer stuff. You may come and you may listen to a sermon. You may travel with the posse, with the gang, the homeboys at Edinburgh Road Chapel. But you know in your heart, only you know, that you've never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus. You like the gang. You like the camaraderie. You like the fellowship. You like to see the miracles. But deep down, it's all superficial. The Judas man or woman refuses to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you entertain lies from Satan? And you might be saying, I would never do that. Don't bet on it. I guarantee some of you are entertaining lies of Satan right now. I guarantee it. It's rooted in what we believe, not only our theology and what we believe about Jesus. It involves that. It involves our theology. It involves our doctrine. It involves, though, our total worldview, our whole philosophy of life, our ethics and our values, and the choices that we make in life. Maybe you have slipped into believing the lies of, we'll say, evolution or abortion or some specific sin of pleasure, homosexuality, universalism, relativism. Relativism, universalism says that all roads lead to heaven. All religions are fine. It doesn't matter what you believe, just believe something. It's okay for you, this is okay for me. It's okay for him, it's okay for her. It's all the same. That's a lie from Satan. Amen. And if you believe those lies, you are taking steps to become IWD, intoxicated with demons. Satan is the father of lies. So everything we believe and how we choose to live must be filtered through the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Judas man, he keeps audience with the father of lies that would take that step to believe, get rid of Jesus. Here's the next very personal question. Do you choose to sell out Jesus for your own personal gain? your own personal comfort, your own personal pleasure? Do you choose to sell out Jesus for that? Jesus sells him out for some silver. What price will you accept for selling him out of your life? Do you have any Judas silver in your possession right now? You took those 30 pieces of silver and you stuck them in your pocket, or you put them in your purse and you said, I'm selling out Jesus. I don't want him in my life. I'd rather have this. It may not be literal silver. It may be a pack of cocaine or heroin. It may be a moment of adultery or pornography. It may be lying to get a promotion in your job or whatever it might be. But you're selling out Jesus. You're compromising. You're hanging with people that want to get rid of Jesus. Just get Jesus out of your life. It's okay. You can hang with the posse. You can hang with the gang and the homeboys at church, and that's all fine. But boy, make the choices that are for your own personal gain and pleasure. The Judas man will always choose self over Jesus. What in life could mean so much to make you sell your soul? Is it the smell, the taste, the touch, the weed, the booze, the girl? Do you choose to reject Jesus' cross as a way of life? In Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. That's a way of life. That I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Oh, we want to cut that last part of that verse off, don't we? The real follower of Jesus is willing and ready to follow Jesus to suffering and to death. Yes, when you make that decision to follow Jesus and you're not going to sell him out, you're not going to compromise for your own personal gain and pleasure, you're willing to face death. You're willing to face martyrdom. Water baptism, as I mentioned earlier, next Sunday we have water baptism. It is symbolic of being buried. We bury dead people, people that have died to self to live for Jesus. The Judas man runs from the cross and rejects the cross life, and he only seeks health and wealth and prosperity and the pleasurable life, the comfort life, the good life, the self-centered life, the narcissistic life. That's the Judas man. And when it doesn't go your way, the Judas man says, I don't want it. I'm a victim. Poor me. Woe is me. Look at my life. I think I'm going to go get high. I think I'm going to shoot up, or I'm going to snort a little bit, or whatever it is. I'm going to buy that 6-pack. I'm going to buy that 12-pack. I'm going to buy that bottle because I deserve it. Look at me. I'm a victim. Woe is me. And that's Judas. See, he didn't want to face the cross life. And when trouble came, he's going to run from Jesus. And then one final thing. Do you choose to continue on his journey that leads to destruction, which may be physical destruction and certainly eternal destruction? Sobering words, but we need to hear that. Where did Judas end up? From everything that I understand, you know, he lived in remorse and he goes out and he hangs himself. And I understand that he would spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Is it okay to say hell? Skip says H-E double hockey sticks, right, Skip? But hell. And I'm not saying that to be cute. It's reality. It's a reality. Judas wanted to live in both worlds, Jesus and reject Jesus and compromise. And he sold out Jesus. And when you do that, your life is headed on the path to destruction. I tell you, I have stood and talked to too many people in my 25 years here, plus the years before that, I say, you got to make a change. If you don't, you're headed to destruction. I remember years ago talking to a 30-year-old mother of a little boy about 8 or 10 years of age, and she was a heroin addict. And I said, you need to make change. Her family had given up on her. I said, if you don't make change, the next time I see you, I will be standing, look at you in your casket. And that's what happened. We stand looking at Judas's casket. Not literally, but we know what Scripture says. He went out and hung himself. He couldn't deal with it. What kind of legacy does Judas leave? People ask me, like, what drives you? What motivates you? Certainly, my number one motivation is to bring glory to God and to serve Jesus and to live for Him. And I know I'm far from being perfect. I don't mean to set myself in some ivory tower. But my desire is to follow Jesus. But also, I want to be a godly follower of Jesus when it comes to me being a man, when it comes to me being a husband, when it comes to me being a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather, because I am deeply, deeply motivated and governed and generated by the legacy that I'm going to leave. And someday my kids are going to have a memorial service. No, they're not going to look in my casket because I'm going to be in vaporized or something, you know. A bunch of ashes, and they're going to have a memorial service, and they're going to be talking about me, just as your family will be talking about you. What kind of legacy will you leave? And here we are, we're talking about Judas. Look at the legacy that he leaves. The way his life ends in remorse, and he misses all the blessings that Jesus would offer him, and he misses eternity. Quickly, let's summarize. The Judas man, he has a superficial relationship to Jesus. He listens to the lies of Satan. He chooses to sell out Jesus for personal gain and pleasure. And he rejects the way of the cross. And he ends his life in remorse and destruction. Not the kind of guy that I want to emulate. Not a role model. Will we live our lives like Jesus, or will we live our lives like Judas? No compromise. See, when you try to straddle the fence, Jesus and those that want to get rid of Jesus, that's no way to go. Because Satan will win out. Satan will win out. The Judas man compromises and ends up destroyed. So here's the challenge. Will you be like Judas, or will you be like Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. This story of Judas is there for us to wrestle with, to chew on, to meditate. But Father, we do not want to be like Judas. Touch us. Father, if there's one that is entertaining those lies of Satan, speak to them today. Set them free. That they will repent and confess that and bow and surrender to your Lordship. Thank you. You answer prayer. You're awesome. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to ask our men that will be serving communion to get prepared. Just a brief word of instruction for those of you that happen to be visiting and you're not sure what communion is like here. First, our communion table is open. That means that everyone is welcome to participate. It is not a closed table, meaning you have to be a member of our church or a member of our denomination. You do not have to be a member. But you do need to be a member of God's family. And that comes by faith, repentance, trusting that Jesus has dealt with your sin and you've confessed that to him.